I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. Yes, we thank the Lord that He has brought us through the year, and now we have come to the last Lord's Day of the year. And surely there are things that go through our mind as we come to the last Lord's Day of the year, as we come to the close of the year, what we did for the Lord in the course of the year. And of course, there will be a certain amount of regrets if we didn't do well in the way of serving the Lord. And but we would also thank God for the blessings that we receive, for the times that the Lord enabled us to serve Him, and so that we, by the grace of the Lord, were able to enjoy a good time of service unto Him. Now, as we look into the year 2020, what are you looking forward to? What is there that you want very, very much to have in the year 2020? Now, for me, I think it is for you also, what you would want is to have peace. Peace of mind. And that is what many people look forward to have, a peace of mind. Now, I minister to just one church, and this is a small church that I minister to, and already I feel quite burdened many a time. But I think of the great Apostle Paul. Paul ministered to many churches, churches that he founded, and then there were churches that he did not found, but he still ministered to them. And he called all these cares that he had for the churches that he ministered to, the cares of the church. Now, what are churches made up of? Of course, churches are made up of saints, but churches are also made up of sinners. True, we are saints, but we are still sinners. Let us understand. Now, the difference between saved, true members of the church and unbelievers is that unbelievers are lost sinners, whereas true members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, are saved sinners. So that's the difference, saved sinners and lost sinners. But the truth of the matter is, wherever there are sinners, there will be problems. True? Yes, absolutely true. Where there are sinners, there will be problems. So in any church, you would definitely have problems. It was the same with the church that the Apostle Paul wrote this epistle to, the epistle to the Philippians. Now, it was a very, very good church, a church that was very close to the heart of the Apostle Paul. Yet, this church had problems. Yes, why? Because there were sinners in the church. The church is still made up of sinners. The only difference, as I said, is if they were true believers, yes, then they were saved sinners. Now, there was division in the church, not a big division like the type that we see in the church in the city of Corinth. There were differences between two women folk in the church, Euodias and Syntyche. And presumably they were prominent leaders in the church. And because they were leaders, of course they had their followings. And if they had followings, then you can expect to have some kind of division in the church. Then apart from that problem, so Paul, as I said, there was division in the church. So Paul, in fact, had to write to them and to counsel them and say to them, be of one mind. Be of one mind. Let the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ be in you. And then apart from that problem, the church was being attacked by false teachers. And the false teachers were teaching that for Gentiles to be saved, they must first of all become Jews, which means the males must be circumcised, and that for anyone to be saved, to become believers, yes, he must do the works of the law. But of course, this is false. This teaching is false. Salvation is always by grace through faith. Then, apart from these problems, don't forget, Paul was imprisoned when he wrote this letter. He was not staying in a comfortable place, but he was in prison. For how long more he was going to be in prison, he could not tell. Whether he was going to die in prison, he could not tell. Whether he was going to be executed or not, he could not tell. So he had these problems. Then in addition to that problem, there were those who were preaching the gospel, not for the purpose of saving souls primarily, but for the purpose of hurting Paul. They wanted to inflict pain on the Apostle Paul. They tried to pull support away from Paul, and they tried to discredit him. And they thought that Paul could not do anything because Paul was in prison at that time. Now, if I think about the situation that Paul was in, and I say, if I were in his shoes, what would happen to me? I think I would have collapsed long ago, all right, if I were in his shoes, but not the Apostle Paul. Yes, he was one who appeared to be very, he had many responsibilities, but he was one who was able to manage his worries and his concerns and his problems very, very well. To the extent that he actually had great peace, and he was encouraging the folks in the city of Philippi to follow him so that they would have peace in their minds, like the kind of peace that he had. Now, the question is, how could he have this peace with so many problems that were confronting him? That's what we want to learn from this great hero of the faith this morning. I'd like us to consider the verse that we read earlier on, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, this very, very familiar verse, and learn how to have a mind of peace. Philippians 4, 6. All right, let me read this verse for you. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now the word careful means anxious. In other words, don't be anxious about anything, Paul says. Don't be anxious about anything. Now what is the meaning of the word anxious? Now anxious could mean this, all right? In the original, it means this. It is going in different directions. That's what anxious is, going in different directions. I remember years ago when I was working for my secular employer, I had this colleague who was working in the IT department. And then as many times he would say this, and then on one occasion he said the same thing. He said, today we are in serious trouble. The company is in serious trouble. Yes, we've got to work late. And for the next few nights, we have got to work late. I said, why? He said, the computer crashed. Yes, that's why. The computer crashed. Of course, I didn't understand what he meant when he said the computer crashed. Then one day I asked him, I said, friend, what is meant by the computer crashed? Without being technical, he said to me, it is like upsetting a big basket of crabs. They are live crabs, they crawl up the basket, and then they crawl in different directions. And then you try very, very hard to catch one crab at a time to put into the basket without having your fingers seized by the claws of the crab. That was a hard thing to do. And that surely was a very serious problem. And the problem was very, very worrisome to the IT personnel in my company in those days. Now, as we said, the word anxious means pulling in different directions. Now, do not our problems sometimes appear that way? They appear to be going in different directions. And then we try to manage our problems. And because our problems pull in different directions, we appear to be pulling in different directions also. Isn't it very true? That is true. But God's word says, don't be anxious about anything. Even if the problems appear to be pulling you in different directions, don't worry. Now, the word worry, in Old English, the word worry in Old English means to strangle. To strangle. That's what worry is. Now, worries can cause a lot of problems. It can cause worries can cause headaches, heart aches, stomach aches, arm aches, leg aches, eye aches, and so forth. All kinds of aches. Now, I still remember one time a very, very close relative of mine had great worries, because his wife and his daughter had gone on a trip to a place which was in a state of war. And so he was very, very worried that he would never see his wife and daughter again. so worried that when I visited with him, he complained to me about the worries and so forth. But he also said something about the arm, his arm. He said, I had a little bite. I think it was a mosquito bite. And the mosquito bite has caused my arm to be very painful. Now it is crippled. So he said. But actually, the real cause of that problem was his worries. So when the wife and daughter came back, guess what? The arm healed almost immediately. Yes, and he was back to normal. From God's standpoint, my dear friends, what is worry? Worry is wrongful thinking, or the wrong thinking of the mind, and the wrong feeling of the heart. That's what worry is. Wrong thinking of the mind and wrong feeling of the heart. So the Word of God talks about the heart and the mind. Yes, in verses 6 and 7 of Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Yes, and what's the cure, my dear friends? The cure for worry is to have a mind that is securely guarded by the peace of God. That is how, my dear friends, we can confront and our worries. Yes, that's the cure for worries. Yes, it is to have a secure mind that is guarded by the peace of God. And so we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Let me read these two verses to you. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, you see, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard or keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So how may we have a secure mind? One that is well guarded by the peace of God, one that is well able to defend one that is well defended against worries. We must have two right things. What are they? Number one, right praying. Number two, right thinking. That's what we want to talk about this morning. Right praying, right thinking. Yes, that's how we counteract worries in our mind, in us. Now, first of all, consider right praying. Now, very often when we try to encourage people not to worry, what do we tell them? We say, don't worry, don't worry. Just pray about it. Don't worry, pray about it. Yes, I wonder how much that kind of advice is going to work with the person you try to counsel. Now, the person may want to free himself of his worries. Of course he wants to. But he may not know how to go about praying to have his problems resolved or have his burdens lifted. Yes, so it's not good enough to tell a person, don't worry, just pray about it. But friends, look at what the Apostle Paul said instead. Yes, he said three things. In our prayer, three things, okay? Three things concerning prayers to have our worries lifted. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything what? By prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So three things, prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Now, there appears to be a distinction between prayer and supplication. Of course, supplication, I presume, will be a subset of a prayer. But prayer seems to be quite general, and supplication something more specific. Yes. Now, prayer, when Paul talks about prayer here, he says this, in everything by prayer. Now, when he said that, I have to think that he was actually thinking of the prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray, and the prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, why do I say that? Now, I say that because you look at the two preceding verses, all right, verses 4 and 5. The name of the Lord is mentioned, not once, but twice. All right, look at verses 4 chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. What does the Apostle Paul say? Rejoice what? Rejoice in the Lord, in the Lord. Now, you can't rejoice in the Lord if you don't have peace of mind, right? Rejoice in the Lord. Yes. So he was very much thinking of the Lord's prayer when he said that. And then he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then he goes on to say, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. His coming is near. The Lord is at hand. So he mentions the name of the Lord two times. So I think it is quite natural that when he talks about prayer here, he was thinking very much of the Lord's Prayer uttered that the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray, and the prayer that he teaches us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. In other words, my dear friends, let us begin our prayer with praises, with admiration, with adoration for God the Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So let's praise him. Let's admire him. Let's adore him when we come before him. Now, that's vitally important. So that means that when we come before him, let us never ever rush into prayer. Let us never very quickly engage ourselves in prayer and think that we are praying. But that's exactly what we always do, right? In the morning, because we're rushing to go out to work and so forth, very quickly we just utter a few things and we think that we have prayed. No, friends, that is not praying. To pray, my dear friends, we must make sure that we are thinking of the Lord, thinking of his power, thinking of his might. Yes, praise him, adore him. How important it is that we remind ourselves who this God is. Now, I refer you to, for example, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 and 29. Look at these two verses. Yes, think of these two verses. When we come before the Lord, you will be very, very encouraged when you begin your prayer. Okay? All right, let me read these two verses to you. All right, let's read them together. Together. Ready? Isaiah 40, 28 and 29. Ready? Go. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the God that we are addressing, is the everlasting God, the eternal one, the self-existing one. This is the God that we are addressing our prayer to. And then he's the creator of the ends of the earth. Now what does that tell us? He tells us that this God of ours is all-powerful. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't faint. He doesn't grow weary. There is no searching of his understanding. It means he knows everything. He knows all about us. Does he not know about our worries and our fears? I say he knows. He knows every bit of it. And then another two verses or three verses that we might want to think about when we engage ourselves in prayer. It is good for us to know this truth. All right? Psalm 147, 3 to 5. All right? Turn to Psalm 147, 3 to 5. Yes. The verses here say, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He is so great, so mighty, yet he is so compassionate. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. And you know how powerful he is? He telleth the number of the stars. You know what a teller is in the bank, right? A teller is one who counts money, right? A teller. So he telleth the number of the stars. The stars in the sky. In other words, he knows exactly the number of stars in the sky. And he calleth them all by their names. The name of every star in the sky, the Lord knows. And he has named every one of them. You know how many stars there are in the whole wide universe? I said it before. The number of stars in the sky, science has shown that, all right? The number of stars in the sky is as great as the number of grains of sand on the seashore. Think about that. And the Lord knows exactly how many stars there are in the sky. And he has named every one of them. How powerful this God of ours is. Great is our God and of great power. His understanding is infinite. He's all-knowing, all-powerful. Now, this is the God that we are coming before, my dear friends, when we go on our knees to pray. It is so vitally important that we remind ourselves of this truth before we engage ourselves in prayer. And then he says to us very kindly, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Ah, then we start praying. You understand? So it is so important that we begin our prayer in this manner. Yes, if we want to have peace of mind, we want to have a mind that is well guarded by the peace of God, that is how we should begin our prayer. Think of him first. Praise him, adore him, admire him. Next, we go on to supplication. Now, what is meant by to supplicate? Now, to supplicate means to pray in earnest. It means to pray with zeal, to pray with earnest, and to be specific in our prayers. It is to tell the Lord our problems, although he knows what our problems are, but it's good to tell him our problems, tell him our concern. Yes, bring the matter before him. My dear friends, it's just like Hezekiah. Remember, he was threatened by the king of Assyria because the Assyrians had invaded the city of Jerusalem. What did he do? He brought that letter and brought it into the temple of God and spread the letter before the Lord. Now, that is what is meant by petition. And now, you remember the case of Jacob. Now, Jacob, one night when he had come back to the land of promise, stayed behind, and he sent his family across the river Jabbok, but he stayed behind and prayed the whole night through. You see, he had left his homeland, the promised land, for more than 20 years, because more than 20 years earlier, he had to run away from his twin brother Esau because he had swindled his brother of his birthright and of his blessing. And he heard that his brother was going to kill him, so he had to go away. And it was meant for him to go away just for a short period of time, but that short period of time became 20 years or 20-odd years. But during the time that he was away, although he was much ill-treated, the Lord blessed him. The Lord prospered him. He became very wealthy, and he returned with a huge family. And now, because God had told him to return, so he came back. But that night, he was very, very worried. You know why? Because there was this big problem, and that big problem was his twin brother Esau. He heard that his brother was going to come out to meet him with 400 men. Whether he was coming out to meet him in peace or in war, he could not tell. Yes, what if he came out in war? Then he would destroy all his family members. And so that night he prayed. He wrestled with God. The word of God says, from night till the break of dawn. Now, how did he pray? I refer you to Hosea chapter 12, verse 4. See how he prayed. Hosea 12:4. That is what is meant by supplication. All right? Hosea 12, verse 4. Hosea 12:4. Okay, let's read that verse together. Yea, he here refers to Jacob. All right, let's read that again. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He wept and made supplication unto him. He wrestled with the angel of the Lord. And we know that the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament refers to none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he made supplication unto the one true living God, wrestled with God from night till the break of dawn. Did God answer his prayers? Yes. God answered his prayers. The next day, instead of a bloody battle between two brothers, they were very, very happily and emotionally reconciled. Now, so, friends, if we want to have a secure mind, guarded by the peace of God, my dear friends, remember this. Pray. All right, pray. Remember what we said about prayer. Begin with admiration, adoration. Think of who this God is, and then go on to supplication. Next, we must give thanks unto the Lord. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, I refer to the example of Daniel. All right, it's good to look at all these Old Testament characters and see how they pray, how they handle their problems. Okay, look at Daniel in the Old Testament. Now we are talking about praying with thanksgiving. Now, the king of Persia had issued a decree that for a period of 30 years, no one was to kowtow to anyone. No one was to make any kind of petition of anybody except to the king of Persia. Anyone violating this decree will be thrown into the den of lions. And stance. What did Daniel do? He was not going to change his stance where prayer is concerned. He will still continue to worship the one true living God. He will still seek his God. And so we read in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. So because of the shortage of time, I will just read this for you. Daniel 6, verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, the decree was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chambers toward Jerusalem. He didn't shut his windows, he didn't hide. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed. And what? And gave thanks, you see, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He did as usual. And he prayed. And one thing very, very important that he did was he gave thanks unto the Lord. Now the giving of thanks is vitally important in when we pray. It shows our gratitude towards God. It shows our love towards him. It acknowledges that all that we did in time past for the one true living God, we didn't do by our own strength. We did it by the strength of the Lord. That's why we are giving thanks now. And then it also shows that we are very grateful to him and are acknowledging that whatever we have, we actually receive from the one true living God. And then this giving of thanks is very, very important because it is actually an expression of faith. You think about it. Lord, I thank you for enabling me to do this. You know how important it is to thank God in that manner? You say, I thank God for enabling me to do this from time past, and now you enable me to do this, which means, Lord, I'm expecting you to enable me to do things in the future for you. So it is an expression of faith. So you see how important it is that we give thanks unto the one true living God. So when we pray, yes, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, the Lord, by his grace, will grant us the peace that we are in need of. Yes, he will grant us a secure mind, one that is well guarded by his peace, which passes all understanding. So we must have right praying if we want to have this kind of a mind. Now, the next thing that we must have is a right thinking. Yes, to have a peaceful mind, we must have right thinking. So we go on to the next two verses, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So right thinking. Right thinking means you think on these things, this whole list here. You think of these good things. That's right thinking. Well, first of all, think of things that are true. Now, a survey was done in the U.S., and this was the finding. Now, they found that in the survey that only 8% of things that people are very, very concerned about are real and legitimate. Only 8%. And then the rest, 92%, are things that are imaginary or things that are never going to happen or things that are going to happen anyway. Whether you worry or don't worry, they are going to happen. So why worry, you see? So, in other words, my dear friends, whether you worry or don't worry, things are going to happen among the part of the 92%, and then only 8% are things that are real and legitimate. So, my dear friends, just think about this truth. You know, about only about 8% of the things that we worry about are real and legitimate. Maybe they will not even happen, but real but legitimate. Now, there is a story about this worrier, which I read about some years ago. He was driving in a country road at night. It was dark night, and he was actually in a hurry also to go to the city the next day. So he was driving along this country road when he realized that his car sustained a puncture. He stopped his car, then he realized that his car didn't have a hand jack to raise up the car for him to change the tire. But thankfully, there was a farmhouse not very far away. So he looked and said, all right, I'll walk to the farmhouse, borrow the hand jack from the farmer. Okay. Then it occurred to him, but farmers sleep very, very early. Now, if I go, I'll be waking him up from his sleep. And if I woke him up from his sleep, he's going to be very angry with me. All right. Then he thought about it. Yeah, he might be very angry with me. Then when he sees me, he might think that I'm an intruder or robber. If he thinks that I'm an intruder and robber, what would he do? He would take out his gun. Yes, he would take out his gun. He might aim his gun at me. Oh, to protect myself, I think I better go back to my car. So he went back to his car. He got out his handgun. He went along, walked closer and closer to the farmhouse. As he walked closer and closer to the farmhouse, he became more and more and more worried. Yes, he was thinking of those things that were untrue. And then finally he shouted, "Come on and get me!" Yes, well, the things that were so untrue that he thought it was real. And then the farmer opened the door and was shocked. And he said to him, "Sir, what can I do for you?" The warrior was so embarrassed, he said, "Oh, I forgot what I came for." My dear friends, you see, people can be so worried, so consumed about things that are not true, that they really do not really know what they want. Now, this is a very fictitious story, of course, but that's what happened to us. If we keep on thinking of things that are not true, yes, we'll not have peace of mind. Now remember this truth, Satan wants to steal our peace. He's the father of lies. He wants us to believe his lies. And we would be believing his lies if we imagine the worst. Yes? Now the great truth that we must all be thinking on, because Paul says, think on the right things. Think on the truth. Now the great truth all of us must be thinking of is that we are children of God. That the Lord Jesus has made peace between us and the one true living God. And so we are children of God. And as children of God, you know what we enjoy? As children of God, we enjoy God's special providential care. His special providential care. He cares for us in a way that he would not care for unbelievers. He cares for us in a very, very special way. And so the Apostle Paul says this in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, all right, Romans chapter 8, verse 31, he says this. What shall we then say to all these things? The unpleasant things, the bad things. And what shall we say to all these things? The trials and tribulations we go through. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's what he says. And that's the truth. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Sure, he will. Because we are under his special providential care. Because Jesus has made peace between us and the one true living God. And we know that he cares for us. Because he cares for us in a very special way. And the Lord Jesus Christ one day said this to his disciples. He said this to them. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father's permission. You know, sparrows are very cheap creatures. Yes, with a few cents, you can buy a couple of sparrows. They are very, very cheap. Yes, but not one single sparrow will fall from the sky without the father's permission. And Jesus went on to say, you are more precious than the sparrows. Did you know that even all the hairs on your body are numbered? What does that mean? It means that not one single hair will fall out from our body without the Father's permission. So this is the truth that we must be dwelling on. That's why Paul says, think on things that are true. These are the things that we must think on, true things. Now another thing that we must think on to have peace of mind is that as his children, we can have this wonderful assurance. Yes, and what is this wonderful assurance? That very, very famous verse, Romans 8:28. All of us know that verse. Let's say it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. In other words, things don't happen to us by chance because we are under the providential care of God. They don't happen to us by chance. Whether they be good things, or the bad situations that we are in, yes. My dear friends, none of this happened to us by chance. God allows them to happen to us for a good. Yes, for all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Case in point would be this great hero of the faith, Joseph. As a young man, he was sold into slavery into Egypt by his brothers. Then in the land of Egypt, as a slave, he served his master well for a time, and then he was accused of a crime he didn't commit, as a result of which he was thrown into prison. And he was there for some years, and then he was miraculously delivered. And then he was called to appear before Pharaoh to interpret Pharaoh's two dreams. And he successfully, by the grace of God, by the wisdom of God, it managed to interpret Pharaoh's two dreams. And then he, by God's wisdom, he was able to recommend a food conservation program that will save many people alive during the 7 years of famine. And it was true. Yes, it worked for good, because who was saved? Joseph's father and his family, and Joseph's siblings and their families. Yes, all were saved because Joseph went through that terrible trial and then finally ascended up to the position of being prime minister of Egypt. Now, so when his brothers thought that Joseph was going to take revenge against them after their father passed away, this was what he said to them. And Joseph said unto them, his brothers, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. You meant evil for me, but God meant it to be good." Yes, in short, what he was saying was this: all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So, my dear friends, think of this great assurance that we have, that has been given to us by the one true living God. This is something that is absolutely, absolutely true. Yes. Now, next, to have peace, yes, we must think of things that are honest and just. Things that are honest and just. We must be honest, and we must be thinking of things that are dignified, things that are worthy of respect. Now, if we think and do things which are dishonest, how can we have peace? If we keep on thinking of things and allow these things to work in our mind, how can we have peace? Now, let's say that we want to cheat on tax. Now, it's not so easy to cheat on tax. People will devise all kinds of ways to cheat on tax. They have to think, and they have to think very carefully how to cheat on tax. And so, but if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that you have already the Holy Spirit in you. So if you try to devise all these ways, dishonest ways to cheat on tax, how could you have peace when you will be grieving the Holy Spirit in you? You can never have peace. And then when you become a believer, your conscience will have been purged by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to keep your conscience pure, you have to keep your conscience very sharp. But friends, if you try to cheat on tax, yes, you're hurting your conscience. So how can you have peace? You can never have peace. And then let's say, all right, we decided to cheat, and then we cheated on tax. The next thing that we realize is that, wow, one day the law is going to catch up with me. Now, if you're a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, be sure of one thing. You know, the Word of God says, be sure your sins will find you out. Now, unto whom would this be more true? To believers or to unbelievers? What do you think? I say to believers. All right. So if you are a believer, you cheat, I can tell you this, the Word of God says, yes, your sin will find you out. So how can you have peace? Then you're not cheating on tax is just one thing. You can be thinking of cheating your employer, or you can think of cheating in your examinations. Young people may want to do that, yes, or cheating on your studies and so forth, or cheating on your wife. Now, if we allow our minds to think of these dishonest things, the things that are not just, you can be sure we will not have peace in our minds. Now, remember, God's laws are given to us for a very, very good purpose. God's laws are given to us to bless us. That's the purpose of the laws. His word says, obey them and live in them. Obey them and live in them. Of course, we can't obey the laws of God perfectly so that we will be able to enjoy everlasting life. No, we cannot earn our salvation, because salvation is always by grace through faith. Now, that's absolutely true. But friends, if we want to live a joyous life, a life of peace, there is one thing that we must necessarily do, and that is we must live a life of obedience to the laws of God. Anytime we allow ourselves to think or doing things that are not conforming to the word of God, you can be sure that we will lose our peace. Then we must think of things that are pure, yes? Things that are wholesome, things that are not mixed with impurities. What do we feed our minds with? Yes, what television programs do we watch? What websites do we go into when we surf the net? What books do we read? My dear friends, are all these materials that we are surfing, reading, watching, and so forth, corrupting our minds? Now, if they are corrupting our minds, my dear friends, what will happen is that we are actually exposing ourselves to temptations. And if we expose ourselves to temptations, then there is the very, very likelihood that we'll sin. And when we sin, of course, we'll lose our peace. Now, you think of the case of the great King David. Yes, David one day was supposed to go to war because that was the time when kings went to war, but he did not. He rested in the city of Jerusalem in his palace, and then what? He rested so much that he even took a late afternoon nap. Then when he got up from his nap, he went up to his rooftop, and then he saw this woman bathing herself, Bathsheba. Yes? Now, if at that moment it was just a fleeting glance and he turned away, it would have been all right for him. No, my dear friends, his thoughts dwell on her. Yes? And what was the result? 2 Samuel 11, verse 3 says, "And David sent and inquired after the woman." Yes, he fell. And committed adultery with her. He caused her to be pregnant. And in order to marry her, he had her husband Uriah killed in battle. You know, you think he had peace? No, my dear friends, he never had peace. And many commentators believe that what is said in Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4, is an expression of David's turmoil in his heart because of his sin. I read for you Psalm 32, 3 and 4. "When I kept silence," that means he didn't confess his sin, he didn't repent from his sin. "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old." In other words, he felt that he was an old man, growing old. "Through my roaring all the day long." Some commentators said that this roaring refers to the roaring of a furnace in his system. Can you imagine your system having a furnace that is roaring away? How could you have peace? No peace at all. "For day and night the hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." My dear friends, that was how he felt. No peace at all because he sinned against the one true living God. So it is so very important that we must also take steps to protect ourselves. Yes, think on things that are pure. Yes, don't allow our minds to dwell on things that are impure. Then think of things that are lovely. Think of things that are lovely. Things that promote peace rather than things that sow discord. Think of things that are beautiful. Now, what is the most beautiful thing that you can think of? The words. Holiness, of course. The holiness of God is the most beautiful thing. My dear friends, think of the holiness of God. If we think of the holiness of God, how holy God is, and how God wants us to be holy, and there's a way for us to make ourselves holy, and that is by the cleansing of his precious blood, my dear friends, we will have peace of mind. Think of the holiness of God. Then think of things of good report. Think of doing things that are admirable. Things of good report. Think of them, of doing things that are admirable, constructive, rather than destructive. Now, as Christians, we can't expect non-Christians to like us. That's a fact. You can't. All right? They might dislike us, or they might hate us, and they might also persecute us. But let them not find fault with us because we lack integrity. They said these Christians lack integrity. Let them not find that kind of fault with us. But friends, if we are right with God, and if indeed we are doing his way, his will, nothing can take our peace away. Yes, it is when we have broken his laws that we lose our peace. Now, will we not have peace of mind if this is reported of us, all right? Even from those people who do not like us, all right? Will we not have peace if people make this report of us? He loves his enemies, talking about us. He loves his enemies. He blesses them that curse him. He prays for them that despitefully use him. He prays for those who persecute him. My dear friends, if even non-Christians were to make that kind of report of us, I'm sure we will be enjoying peace of the greatest kind. So think of things that are of good report. Then think of things that are virtuous, things that are morally excellent, things that are praiseworthy, commendable, yes, things that bring honor and glory to the Lord. My dear friends, if you keep on thinking on all these things, things that are true, honest, just, pure, things that are lovely, things that are of a good report, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, if you keep on thinking on these wonderful things, my dear friends, our mind will be well protected. Yes, we will have the peace of the Lord. So in conclusion, I'd like us just to read the three verses again. All right, worthwhile for us to remember these three verses. Philippians 4, 6, 4, 6 to 8. All right, let's read these verses together, okay? And I hope you can commit this to memory, not difficult to memorize, because they are such wonderful verses, you should be able to memorize them. Okay, Philippians 4, 6 to 8. Let's go. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have promised us that we would have a mind of peace, provided, Lord, we allow your peace to guard our mind. And we know that our minds will be well guarded if we come before you praying and presenting our petitions unto you with thanksgiving. Yes, Lord, and we know that we will have a mind that is well guarded if we were to think on things that are true, honest, just, pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report, things that are virtuous. Lord, we know that our minds will be well protected if we focus our minds on those wonderful things that you have enumerated for us in your word. So, Lord, we pray that your people may indeed be able to enjoy a year of peace in the year 2020 and even in the years beyond. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.